Okay, today's daf is Yud Bet. We're going to start at the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Okay, I just want to remind you, in case you forgot, the first Mishnah, just it's important to see within the context. Okay, we'll keep repeating this line. Kol ha'zvachim shenizbechu shelo l'shmam kshirim. Right, that was where we started. All korbanot sacrificed not for the right intent are kshirim, but they don't work. Right, l'shem chova, they lo alu l'balim l'shem chova, meaning the balim need to bring something in instead. Chutz min ha-pesach ha-chatat. Okay, when the pesach, ha-pesach bizmano, only a pesach that's really on the day of pesach, and the chatat b'chozman. Okay, then we had Rabbi Lezer said even the asham. Then we had is the reverse also true? Something brought l'shem asham, l'shem chatat, or l'shem pesach, and then we had. The last opinion about that, if you go up, it works, and if you go down, it doesn't work. Okay, so there were all different debates. Why am I telling you this? Because now we're going to go off on something else in the beginning part of the Mishnah, but the second part of the Mishnah, it's a very strange structure, is going to bring a further opinion that relates to the first Mishnah. Okay, it should have really been right after. I don't know why it isn't. I didn't really look up about, you know, in terms of the academics, what happened here exactly, but anyway, we're going to start with bit of a different issue, and then go back to that basic question of what, you know, which korbanot are the ones that are done lo lishma, disqualify them, and they're going to add a different one to the list. HaPesach sheshachato shacharit ba'arba'asar shelo lishmo. Let's say you take a Pesach, and you slaughter it, instead of slaughtering it in the afternoon when it's supposed to be slaughtered, you do it in the morning of Arba'asar. But you do it, not l'shem Pesach. In other words, you take this sacrifice, Pesach bizmano, okay? You sacrifice it, shelo lishmo, in the morning, okay? Now, the question is the morning of, what? Okay, let's go back. Pesach bizmano, what did we say? If you do it, shelo lishma, it's disqualified, right? It's pasul. So, that's one of the unique cases. So now, what if you take a Pesach in the morning of, and the cold question is, what's Bizmano? Is Bizmano the afternoon of the 14th, when the sacrifice is, when the korban is supposed to be sacrificed, or is it even the morning? So if you take, according to the first opinion, HaPesach sheshachato shacharit ba'arba'asar shelo lishmo, okay, they shechted it in the morning for the sake of something else, which if it's Bizmano, we're going to say it's disqualified. If we don't count the 14th in the morning as Bizmano, it won't be disqualified. Rabbi Yoshua Machshir, he says this is kasher. Ki ilu nishcha b'shloshasar. The morning of Arba'asar is like Shloshasar. It's like any other day of the year. It's the Pesach shelo bizmano because that's not when you're supposed to slaughter the Korban Pesach. You're supposed to slaughter it in the afternoon. Ben Arba'im. Ben Betera Postel. Ki ilu nishcha ben Arba'im. He views this as a Korban that's sacrificed, or that's slaughtered, I should say, that's slaughtered in the afternoon. He says, Pesach in the morning is like Pesach in the afternoon. Okay? Yudalit in the morning is like Yudalit in the afternoon. And therefore, we're going to treat it as if it's what are we going to say? It's Bizmano, and therefore it's disqualified. Okay? So the whole debate is, Yudalit Baboker, right? Yudalit Baboker, is this Bizmana or Lo Bizmana? Okay? That's the Machloket.
Is there an issue of whether it's by mistake or not? Like, I have an image in my head of there being so many korbanot that they have to do.
We only talked about this that it's intentional.
Right, that they have to do it in the morning because there are so many. Like, that you can almost see them saying, oh, Bali, it's Erev Pesach. We've got to get started.
We've got to get started. Interesting. Okay, so we're going to see a debate about whether, according to the opinion of Ben Betera, that Pesach, it's Bizmana, Yudalit, does he mean that you can actually slaughter them all in the morning, Lachatchila? Or does it not mean that? Does it mean, no, you have to slaughter them in the afternoon because your dalit is man. But if you slaughtered it, you know, but we're still going to treat your dalit baboker as bizmana for the purposes of the intent and all that and our issue, but not that you can really lechatchila slaughter them in the morning. Okay?
It says your lolishma.
Right. This case, that's why the Mishnah is not talking about can you slaughter them lechatchila or not for Pesach. This Mishnah is just saying if you slaughtered it in the morning, shelo lishma, would that be considered bizmana or lo bizmana? Okay, well, it's not talking about whether or not lechatchila you can sacrifice it. We're going to see two opinions of Amoraim about what Ben Betera would say about does he view it as bizmana entirely, 100% meaning you can sacrifice it then? Or does he say, well, because you're already in the day where we sacrifice it, that's already enough to call it bizmana? Okay.
Isn't the Lanishma irrelevant, though? What they're really asking is, when can you make the sacrifice?
Well, that's the debate here. Is that really what they're asking or not? Okay? That's the debate of the Amoraim. Okay? Mm-hmm. And if... There's obviously going to be a bunch of difficulty. If you say it really means lechatchila you can slaughter it, then why didn't the Mishnah say so? And why does the Mishnah say it's ki'ilu nishchapa in ha'arbayim? Right? There's a whole bunch of difficulties with that opinion. We're going to raise all the difficulties, answer them. But and what's the major difficulty? If you say that you can actually slaughter it in the morning, then why does it say in all the psukim bein arbayim? Okay? And we're going to have a whole slew of questions. We're going to answer them all, except in the end, we're going to see that there's another opinion that doesn't think that that's the way to read it. Okay?
What's considered morning time? What is that breaking?
Oh, when is it Ben Arbaim? I assume, I actually don't recall, but I assume it's like the way we treat Mincha, which is half an hour after midday, or it could be just straight after midday. I'm not sure, but it's either that or that. In other words, it's after midday, let's say. Okay, maybe half an hour after midday. I'm assuming Mincha is Mitzukan, right? I just can't remember right now because my head is in this, but I assume Mincha's Mitzukan neged the time that they would bring the sacrifice. I assume it must be half an hour after Chatzot. Okay. Now we go back to, if you remember, I told you, the end of this Mishnah goes back to the beginning Mishnah. Okay? Amar Shimon ben Azai, mekubalani mipi shivim ushnayim zaken. Okay, there's an assumption that, what's the shivim ushnayim? Usually the Sanhedrin is 71, but in the Sanhedrin in Yavne, there were 72, because there were the 71 Sanhedrin plus the Nasi. So he says, I learned from 72 zakenim, b'yom, even though it says zaken, okay, it should be zakenim, the Gemara is going to ask that, b'yom shoshivu et Rabbi Elazar b'yeshiva, okay, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah when he became the Rosh Yeshiva in place when they kicked out Rabban Gamliel and the whole story of Brachot, Rabban Gamliel embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua and they kicked him out, they brought in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and he said, Arayani kiven shivim shana, right, because he was only 18, he became the Rosh Yeshiva. So on that day, apparently the whole Masechet Eduyot was taught on that day, okay? All these things were taught on that day. Why was it such a unique day? Because if you remember, Rabban Gamliel kept everybody out of the Beit Midrash. He only let in, he had to say, if you're inside like you're outside, and he had a very strict policy as to who would come in. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah brought everybody in, opened the doors of the Beit Midrash, and tons of people came in, and because of that, a lot of things were learned on that day. Or at least according to tradition, right? So that day, what did he say? Shekol hazvachim haneachalim shenizbechu shalo lishmam kshirim. Instead of kol hazvachim shenizbechu shalo lishmam, it's only zvachim that are eaten. Okay? Which excludes what? Korban olah, which is not eaten at all. So when we say all the zvachim shenizbechu shalo lishmam kshirim chutz min chatap v'pesach bizmano, we're only relating to zvachim haneachalim. Okay? Ela shelo alu lebalin mushum chova chutz mina pesach u'mina chatat. Okay, below sipanazai ela haola. What case was he adding? That if you're saying it's only nechalim, then obviously ones that are not nechalim, like the ola, which is more holy, so to speak, because the whole thing gets burned up to God. Therefore, what are you going to say about it? The ola is also disqualified. So he adds to Lezer, right? Lezer added the asha. He adds the ola. So according to him, it's ola, chatat, and pesach bismana. The lohodulo chachamim. Okay, this is an interesting thing that happened. He says, I have this tradition from, it was said by all 72's kenim on the day that they brought Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to the head of the yeshiva. But for whatever reason, even though everybody agreed at that point, at least according to him, nobody agreed with him. Okay, the chachamim didn't accept his opinion. Okay, now we're back to the beginning of the Mishnah. So the first way to read this Mishnah is like this. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshaya. Machshir haya ben b'tera b'pesach sheshachato shacharit b'arba'asar lishmo. If you shechted l'chatchila, you said, I'm going to shecht, or I don't know, l'chatchila or b'di'evet, but a pesach, that you shechted shacharit, not a case where you did it shelo b'zmano, right? You had the wrong intent. But you take the korban pesach and you shechted in the morning, he says, it's kasher. As you shechted l'shem pesach, dekule yom azimnehu. He views the whole day as a time for korban pesach. And that's why he says that if it's done shelo lishma, it's going to be disqualified. Okay, because it's Zman Pesach. So then they're going to say, so now we start with our questions. Umay ki'ilu, why does it say ki'ilu nishchapa in arbaim? It should be, because it could be, right? So what do they say? I did dama Rabbi Yeshua ki'ilu. Rabbi Yeshua said, when you do it in the morning of the 14th, it's like you did it on the 13th. So he said, no, I think it's like you did it in arbaim. So he's just kind of retorting to what he said. And therefore, you don't need the ki'ilu B'dafka to be ki'ilu. Therefore, Amar Iunami, therefore he also said ki'ilu. Ihachi, if that's the case, though, Adamiflege b'shelo l'shmo, liflegu b'lishmo. Then their basic machloket is, why should they be arguing about what if you took a Korban Pesach and did it with the wrong intent? Why don't you say, what if you slaughtered the Korban Pesach in the morning for its own intent? Is that good or is it not good? That's the basic machloket. So now they say, iiflegu b'lishmo, havamina, if you say the whole machloket is, b'lishmo, does it count or does it not count? What might you have thought? If you say the whole machloket is, can you slaughter it in the morning, can you not slaughter it in the morning? So let's say Ben Viterah says you can slaughter it in the morning. Rabbi Yeshua says you can't slaughter it in the morning. So now the question is, though, aval b'shelo l'shmo, what might you have thought? Mo de Rabbi Yeshua l'ben b'terah, ho'il mitzat Torah oy. Therefore, kamash malan. The reason they had to tell us the machloket is b'shelo l'shma, even though the machloket is also b'lishma, is because you might have thought that Rabbi Yeshua would have said that even though you can't slaughter the Pesach l'shmo in the morning, if you slaughter it shelo l'shmo, since part of the day is ra'oy for Korban Pesach, we're going to treat that as Pesach b'zmano, we're going to disqualify it. And what is he in fact told, according to our Mishnah? No, it's kasher. Okay, you take it in the morning, since you can't slaughter it in the morning, therefore the morning is not b'zmano entirely. Meaning, if you take a Korban Pesach and you slaughter it l'shem shlamin, or whatever else you might slaughter it, l'shem, it's not disqualified because that's not considered Pesach b'zmano. And if you said that the machloket it's only about can you slaughter it l'shmo in the morning, you might not necessarily realize that Rabbi Yeshua was going to say that. So therefore, they had to teach you this case. Aval b'shelo kamashma. V'haktiv, next question, ben arbayim. It's in the pasuk you're supposed to slaughter the korban Pesach, ben arbayim, which means in the afternoon. Amar ula b'reid Rabbi Lai. You misunderstood Ben Arbaim. You think Ben Arbaim is the afternoon? In fact, it's Ben Shnei Aravim. Okay? It's between two evenings, which means starts from the morning and goes to, right?
But how do they know it's not between the 13th and the 14th? Like, if it could be Ben Arbaim between the 13th and when the 14th starts.
What do you mean?
Evening before the
14th. It can't be, because Ben Arbaim means between two Aravim, which would have to be the day of the 14th, meaning starting at the night of the 14th, but we don't bring sacrifices at night. Okay, so therefore it would obviously be in the morning. Okay, so they say, wait a minute. You're going to say Ben Harbayim means morning, or, you know, it could be all day basically. That's what it means. What about the Tamid? Dichtiv ba Ben Harbayim, right? The Korban Tamid. Hachinami de kule yom kasher. You're going to say you could bring the afternoon Korban Tamid, right? What do we know about the Korban Tamid? You bring one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And it says Ben Harbayim. Ben Harbayim there doesn't mean day. So what do they say? Hatami dichtiv et hakeves achat taseh baboker. Michlal de ben arbayim mamash. Since there's one that says baboker, and the other says ben arbayim. Their ben arbayim means mamash. But in Pesach, where it just says ben arbayim, it means that. Ema cha beboker idach kule yoma. Maybe it means one you have to do in the morning, and the other can be done any time of day. So they say no, because it says echa baboker velo shnayim baboker, right? It's keves achad taseh baboker. That means only one goes in the morning and not the other one. Okay, let's take another ben arbayim. Nero dichtiv ben arbayim. Okay, here's a pasuk from Shmot. Okay, it's Shmot lamid pasuk chet. The context actually is the ketoret. Okay, v'hiktir alav aron ketoret samim baboker baboker. Okay, every morning he's supposed to do the ketoret. Behitivo et hanerot yaktirena. Okay, when he sets up the nerot, he will do the ketoret. U'beha'alot aharon et hanerot bein arbaim. And when Aaron lights the candles in the afternoon, yaktirena, then he should also do the ketoret. Ketoret tamid lifnei Hashem ledorotechem. Also, the ketoret was done once in the morning, once in the afternoon. And bein arbaim there obviously means in the afternoon. So now they say, Hachanami de kule yom kasher. You're going to say the whole yom is kasher because it says Ben Arbayim, and Ben Arbayim means Ben Shnei Aravim. So they say, no, Shane Hatam dichtiv me erev ad boker. It says by the Nerot that they have to be me erev ad boker. So because it says me erev ad boker, right, this is a different pasuk, so me erev ad boker means, right, they have to be lit all night long. Vitanya me erev ad boker, and that's what's the, here we're going to explain what does it mean me erev ad boker. Tain la mida tasha tehedo leke me erev ad boker. Because you're obviously not supposed to be lighting it from Erev to Boker, right, the whole time. What does it mean? It means you have to put in enough that it will light all night long. Davar Acher, another explanation of Erev HaBoker, Ein Lecha Avodat Shera Me'erev HaBoker Ela Zo Bilvad. It's the only Avodah you can do in the evening time, right? Other than Avodot, you always did during the daytime. This is the only one that you can do in the evening. Ktoret, in other words, late in the day. Ktoret Dichtiv Ba Ben Harbaim. So now what about the Ktoret, which also says Ben Harbaim? Hachanami de kule yom kasher. You're going to say all day you could do it. No, Shanik Torah, the Itkish Lenero. No, it says specifically in the Pasuk, light the candle, right? The time you light the candles. Hatam Nami Ktiv, Sham Tizbachet HaPesach Be'erev. So now they say, but by Pesach, so yes, you might say Bein Arbaim can mean all day long. But there's another Pasuk by Pesach. Okay, this Pasuk is in Dvarim Tet Zayin. Okay, and it says there, you're supposed to, you can't lizbach et Pesach wherever you want. It has to be b'makom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha l'shaken shmo sham. L'shaken shmo. Sham tizbach et Pesach be'erev kivo Hashem eshmo etzeitcha mimitzrayim. There it says very specifically, that's where you're supposed to bring the Pesach, at the time you left Egypt. So so now you're stuck, okay? And that's, we're really having a lot of issues with this opinion that you can actually shech the Korban Pesach in the morning. So what do they say? Hahu li uchar. Okay, what does it mean li uchar? It means that if you have two things in front of you and you have to decide which one goes first, so since this one is, let's say, better off done in the evening, it could be done all day, but since the time they got out of Egypt was the evening time, therefore better to do it in the evening. Okay. So, luuchar davar hudaata. Okay, the reason is to tell you that you should push it off if there's something else at stake. Like, how do we know this? Detanya, yeuchar davar shene'amar bo ba'erev u'ben ha'arbaim, l'davar shelo ne'amar bo ela ben ha'arbaim bilvad. Okay, if you have one thing that says ben arbaim, like, for example, the korban tamid. So what comes first? The korban tamid, because there it only says ben arbaim. One that says ben arbaim and ba'erev will come after that. So now, that makes sense if what? If you have two things, and both are to be done in the afternoon, and one says Bein Arbaim and Erev, so we're going to make that later. But now they're going to say, according to what you're saying, you can really do the Korban Pesach all day. And the Tamid you can only do in the afternoon. And you're saying the Korban Pesach is the one that's going to be delayed? That doesn't make any sense. So mi'ika midi, is there such a thing that di'ilu shachet le'mitzafra, it could have been done in the morning, amart zimnehu, v'chimate b'ena arbaim amart yuchar davar. In other words, if the Pesach can be done all day, and then in comes, you know, afternoon hits, you haven't done your Korban Pesach yet, in comes your chiyuv tamid, you're going to say the tamid comes first, wouldn't you think that the thing, that the Korban whose chiyuv came earlier in the day should precede the one who comes later, you know, whose chiyuv applied later? Doesn't make any sense. Then they say, what are you talking about? We have this. For sure we have this. Where do we have this? In. Dehamar b'yochanan halacha mitpalel shemincha v'acharkach mitpalel shemusafin. Okay, what's this halacha? Very famous halacha. If musaf, you can daven all day. Let's say you didn't daven musaf in the morning. Comes after noontime. And what happens? Your chiyuv musaf kicks in. What do we say? Because of the halacha of tadir v'sheino tadir tadir kodem, you always do the one that's more common first. If you have a chiyuv of mincha and musaf upon you at the same time, mincha comes first and musaf comes second. Okay, it's a very classic example. And what do you see here? Even though musaf, your chiyuv was from earlier, right? Still, we're going to say that musaf will come second. Okay, so here you have it. That would be, so there we've answered our question about this Bein Ha'arbayim and Erev, when really you can shech the Korban Pesach all day, and yet, if you didn't do it in the morning, when the Korban Tamid kicks in, then you do the Korban Tamid, and later you do the Korban Pesach, because it says Bein Ha'arbayim and Erev. And that's why Erev doesn't say it has to be done in the Erev. Okay, so we basically brought a slew of she'elot, right, about this opinion that you can actually shech the Korban Pesach in the morning, but yet we come up with answers for all of them. Okay, continuing. Ubein arbaim dichtiv gabei ktoret v'neirot lamali. So what's the bein ha'arbaim then by the ktoret and the neirot? Okay, what's this? Right, so in the end we explain that it means you could... one second.
Why do you need
if bein ha'arbaim is really Bein Shnei Aravim, and yet the Chiyuv is only in the evening, why does it use the Lashon of Bein Arbaim? Should have said maybe Erev or something. Ve'od, Heshiv Rebbe Tachap Ben Betera L'Divrei Rabbi Yoshua, Lo, Im Amarta B'Shloshashar She'em Mikzato Ra'oi, Tomar Ba'arba'asar She'mikzato Ra'oi. Ah, here we have the best question, which is what? Rebbe came and gave an argument in the name of Ben Betera. Okay, Ben Betera was no longer alive. Rebbe came and said, according we said to Rabbi Yeshua, or in other words, Rabbi Yeshua wasn't there either, but he says, L'divrei Rabbi Yeshua, he says like this, if you're going to say b'shlosha asar, what's the issue? Why is it no good? Because ein miktzato ra'oi, because none of shlosha asar is ra'oi for the Korban Pesach, and that's why it's really considered shalo b'zmana. But be'arbasar, you could say that miktzato is ra'oi, and since part of the day is ra'oi, then you should claim that this is considered b'zmano. Well, if that's the case, what do you see here? Rebbe at least understood ben b'tera that what? Okay. That the reason is because miktzato ra'oi, not because, remember, what does miktzato ra'oi mean? It means because it's ra'oi in the afternoon, so we're going to treat this whole day as one entity. But it doesn't mean that you can actually sacrifice it in the morning. It just means that when you define what is the Zman of Pesach, we're going to call the whole 14th the Zman of Pesach. Since it's Ra'oi part of the day, we're going to call it Ra'oi the whole day. So what do you see here? That at least according to Rebbe's understanding of Ben B'Tera only thought this not because you can actually slaughter it, but because Miktzato Ra'oi. Okay? And therefore they say, Vim Ita Kule Ra'oi, Im Ita, and if he really believed that you could check it, what should he have said? Kulo Ra'oihu. Now you could explain that, well, he was only going Aliba Deshita Rabbi Yoshua. That he was retorting according to what you say, because he knows that he wouldn't agree with him about that. But anyway, that's a pretty good question. And therefore, we're going to have another opinion, or whether or not we had that question, we still have another opinion. So that was all in the name of Rabbi Yoshaya. And now we're going to have in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, El Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Posel Haya Ben Betera BePesach Sheshachato BaArba'asar Shacharit Bein Lishmo Bein Shelo Lishmo. Ah. If you shecht your Pesach in the morning of Arba'asar, okay, you do it shelo lishma, that was our case in the Mishnah, right? You do it shelo lishma, according to Ben Betera, it's going to be pasul, because we're going to call the morning of the 14th bismano, okay? But even if you do it lishem Pesach, it's going to be pasul, why? Because you have to shech the Pesach ben arbaim. You didn't do it in the proper time. So according to this, the machloket is not about whether or not you can shecht it in the morning. For sure you can't shecht it in the morning. And this is really building on what we just saw in the name of Rebbe, that his whole shita is, since miktzato ra'oi, since in the afternoon it's ra'oi, we're basically going to call all of the 14th bismano. Even though you can't shecht it l'shem Pesach now. So if you shecht it l'shem Pesach, it's pasul because you shecht it at the wrong time. That's a Pesach shalom, you know, that you did in the wrong time. If it, you take it Pesach and you shecht it l'shem shlamim, for example, then it's disqualified because it's a Pesach bismano and you shecht it at l'shem, a different korban. Okay? So we're going to treat it, it's like a, you know, it's half-half. Okay? Okay. Now, we get a very interesting reaction. Megadef bar Rabbi Yavahu. Okay, Megadef is he, what the hell did they translate?
Gesture of surprise.
Okay, they say a gesture of surprise. That's a nice way of saying it. Usually, Megadef is like to condemn, to ridicule. To ridicule, I think, is really the better word. Now, the reason why they translate it by you as much more muted is because some of the Mefreshim say, he didn't, there's no, it's weird to think that he would have done it in such a strong, harsh way. And therefore, the translation, this is a good reason why you should never read the Gemara in translation, because you lose some of the effects of it. Okay? Megadef is a very strong word. Now, whether or not it meant to use Megadef or not is a good question. That's debatable.
It also gives castigated.
Ah, castigated. That's a good word. Okay. So, Rabbi Yavahu, Megadef ba. And he says like this, Imken Pesach kasher leben b'tere echid mishkach ala. How could you ever have a kosher korban Pesach? Why? Okay, now there's a halacha by korbanot, which is called dichoy. This means if a korban was disqualified at some point, we say it's nidche forever. Okay, once a korban becomes disqualified, okay, this is different than the disqualification, right? And we've been saying kasher, but you know, lola lulabalim shem chobah. But if it actually becomes nidcha, that you can't sacrifice it, it can't go back to its original state. Okay, once nidcha, nidcha. Okay, we're going to talk about when these cases, sometimes it also applies to a person. If a person was nidcha for bringing a korban, let's say he designates a korban, then he can no longer bring the korban, and then he can bring the korban after. We'll see some cases of this. That also, we say dichoy. Okay, you can't use that animal anymore, because the animal he designated was for the original time, right? Then he got disqualified, and then he got re-brought into the picture, but he can't use that other one because that animal was nidcha already.
And they don't finish the process like they do with these pasul?
Right, so it depends. Right, so in that case, we'll talk about what you do with it. It depends on the situation, okay? What you would do, but you can't, the main thing is you can't bring that animal to be sacrificed. Okay, often, depending on what it is, you can switch the korban onto money and take that money and buy a new animal with it. You know, you can sell it. Okay, so now what's the issue with a Pesach kasher leben b'teira? Ida afreshinu ha'idna, if you separate it now on the 14th in the morning, let's say you take an animal, and that's part of the process was you had to designate an animal. If you designate an animal for korban Pesach in the time when it's not able to be brought as a korban Pesach, then dechoy me'ikarahu. It's automatically disqualified because you're taking this korban Pesach in a time where it can't be shechted. So you separate the animal in the morning, but in the morning, it's not allowed to be brought as korban Pesach. So he's going to say, you've basically taken a case where it's dechoy me'ikarahu. You've designated something in a way that it can't be brought right now. So once it's nitcha, it's nitcha. Ve'ida freshinu me'etmol, let's say you separate it on the 13th, when what's going to happen? It's not pasul. Why? Because if you separate it on the 13th and then you bring it l'shem shlamim, it's actually kasher, right? You can bring it l'shem shlamim. You just can't bring it l'shem Pesach, but you can bring it l'shem shlamim. So if you designate it on the 13th, where it's okay right now, but what's going to happen when the morning hits? It's going to be nira, where it was ra'oy to begin with. V'nitchehu, but then in the morning, so you can, it's disqualified for everything, right? In other words, the point is, if you're going to say that on the 14th of the morning, this sacrifice can't be brought lo lishma, can't be brought lishma, well then, whatever animal you designated, whether you designated in the morning or you designated the day before, is going to be nitcha in that morning time period. When it can't be brought for anything, that's basically a disqualified animal. Because the animal can't be brought as a sacrifice for anything right now.
You can't just have kavanah and think.
So, right. That would be the obvious, okay? But they have this impression that if you're designating it now, there's going to be a problem. Okay? So wait for that answer. Ela am Rabbi Avau, tehela achar chatzot. Okay? Rabbi Avau says you have to do it after chatzot. In other words, the only way you can designate an animal for korban Pesach, imagine, as Ruth was saying, you want to shech them in the morning, forget about that. They don't even let you designate them. So imagine after you think it's lachutz in your house, Erev Pesach. Okay? Try to imagine the Beit HaMikdash, okay? So, Ela am Rabbi Avau, tehela achar chatzot. That's what he says. Abai gives a different answer. Afilu tema mitzafra, okay, more along the lines of what Yael is saying. Even if you say it's from the morning, ein mechusar zman lebo b'yom. In other words, it's this pseudo, you're in an in-between stage. We're going to basically say that you can't shecht it. However, it's not considered mechusar zman, the wrong time, for the sake of designating a korban. Okay, because you're within that day. Rav Papa Amar, afilu tema miorte. He extends it even to the evening before. He says you can even take it the evening before. Okay, why? Meaning after sunset of the 13th. Laila emachusar zman. Even in the nighttime, you can already prepare for the korbanot for the next day. Okay, why? Ditani Rav Yishmael, we know this from a different place. Leil Shmini, okay, there's a few halachot you have to know. An animal can only be brought as a sacrifice starting from the eighth day of his life. Okay, similar to Brit Milah on the eighth day. Has to be on the eighth day. The Maser, Behema, you would take the animals and go 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Tachat HaShevet, right? The way we say it. Mavir Tzono, Tachat Shivto, and Netana Tokef. They would basically, you know, put them 1, 2, 3, 4, and get to the 10th one and say, the 10th one is designated. But you can only do that with animals that are ra'oy for sacrificing. So when would that be? On day number 8. But what this halacha says is, already leil shmini nichnas ledir lehitaser. You can already count him on the evening of the 8th, okay, the night of the 8th. Why? Because when are you going to sacrifice it? In the morning. And in the morning, he'll already be ra'oy for sacrificing. Uchid Rabbi Abtoriki, to Rabbi Abtoriki, interesting name, he is Rami Ktiv, he says there's a contradiction between two psukim. It says, Bahayah Shivat Yamim Tachad Imo, which means what? And the animal has to be Shivat Yamim Tachad Imo, and then it says, Ubayom Shmini, right? He can be used for a korban. So what do you see? On the one hand, it says Shivat Yamim Tachad Imo, which means Halayla Chazi. At night, he's already Ra'oi to be brought as sacrifice. Uktiv Miyom Shmini Bahala Yeratzeh. Right, only from the Yom HaShmini is he allowed, right, where it says the day, not the night. Ha laila lo chazi, which seems to imply at night is not right away. Ha kitzad, laila l'ktusha v'yom l'hartza. Okay, at night you can sanctify it to be used for the korban. You can designate it. And during the day you can actually bring it as a sacrifice. So here you say the same thing by us. Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Avahu. Okay, so remember, where did we start? We said here, Posel ha'ben b'tera, right? Rabbi Yochanan says, he was Posel Pesach Shachtobar Arbasar Shacharit, Ben Lishmo Ben Shalo Lishmo, can't be sacrificed at all in the morning. So then Rabbi Avahu says, well, then you'd never be able to designate a Korban Pesach. They brought three possible answers. No, you could designate it from Chatzot only, or you could designate it for the morning, or even maybe the evening, because at least for the purposes of Hakdasha, it would be okay. Now Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Avahu, Lema kasava Rabbi Yochanan bale chayim. Are you, by the fact that you asked this question about dichoy, are you trying to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that bale chayim are nidchin? Okay, what does this mean? I said the korbanot can be nidchin. Now, there's a machloket about whether korbanot can be only nidchim once they're dead, once they're slaughtered, after the process of shchita, or can they be slaughtered? Or can they be slaughtered the night before? I'm sorry, that's not what I meant to say. Okay. Or can they be nidche while they're still alive before they're even shechted? Okay? That's a debate here. So he's saying the fact that you asked this question about these animals being nidche while they're alive, are you trying to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's dichoy in Baalei Chayim, and not only once they're dead, but even when they're still alive, there's the din of dichoy. So Amar Le'in, he says, yes, in fact, I do think that Rabbi Yochanan holds this, and I can prove it. Okay? Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan, behemah shel shnei shutafin. Okay, we jointly own an animal. Hikdish chetzia, am makdish my half. V'chazar v'lakach chetzia, and then I bought you out. Okay, I bought out the other half, but first I was makdish my half. Now, if I'm makdish my half for the korban and your half isn't, I can't bring that as a korban because it wasn't designated properly. So, if I'm makdish chetzia and then I buy the other half, v'ikdisha, and then I'm makdish your half, it's kedosha, it has kedusha to it, ve'ena kreva, but I can't bring it as a sacrifice. Because why? Because this sacrifice was dachoy me'ikaro. It was already, from the very beginning, at least at the beginning stage, I couldn't have brought it as a sacrifice because you owned half of it. It wasn't hekdesh. So because of that, what do you see here? According to him, there's dichoy even if the animal's alive. Okay? Not just after shechita. So number one, the din is, it's kedusha ve'ena kreva. And number two, osat mura. If you take that animal now and transfer the Kedusha to another animal and say, well, instead of this, I'm bringing another animal, what do we normally say happens? Din Tmura means you didn't succeed in taking the Kedusha off that first animal, but you also transferred the Kedusha to the second animal. So now you're stuck with two animals that are Kadosh. And in this case, not only is Oset Tmura, but Tmurata Kayotseba. The second animal also can't be slaughtered, also can't be used for a sacrifice. Why? Because the tmura only has the definition of whatever you transfer to the other is going to be transferred exactly as it is. So this animal is on the one hand holy, on the other hand it can't be used as sacrifice because it was dachoy meikaro. Your tmura now is going to be the same status as that.
So there was no point in.
So it was totally pointless for what you
even doing. Though the one of the people who owns the half can't. But he can't buy the other half off.
He can buy it, but he can only do it if he does it before he sanctifies the animal. If you sanctify the animal when you only own half of it and said, I'm bringing this as a korban, you can't do that because you don't own it to bring as a korban. He owns the other half. If you buy him out first, then of course you could do that. But if you bought him out after, then you're stuck. Okay? So now, they're going to say Shema Mina Tzlad. You can learn three halachot. Shema Mina Balechayim Nidchim. Okay? Because obviously there was dichoy here, even when the animal was still alive. Which proves Rabbi Yochanan, because this is all said by Rabbi Yochanan. So in fact, where do we start? They question Rabbi Avahu and said, Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Avahu, are you trying to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds there's dichoy b'balei chayim? And he says, yes, I am. Okay, in fact, yes. Ushma mina dichoy me'ikar havi dichoy. There's actually a machloket. The obvious case of dichoy is when something's ra'oy first, then becomes disqualified, and then becomes ra'oy again. But dachoy me'ikaro, some people say maybe that's not nidche because it was never holy to begin with. Right? It never had kedusha to it because it was dachoy from the beginning. So maybe that animal could potentially become hektesh later. Okay? So there's a machloket about it, but you can see from here that he thinks dachoy me'ikaro havi dichoy is no good because here the case was where it was messed up from the very beginning. And shma mina yesh dichoy b'damim. You also learn from here that there's dichoy not only in an animal that's kadosh, kedushat aguf, that it's already designated as a korban, or that you designate as a korban, but in this case, that animal is only kadosh for its value, right? Because the animal itself can't be sacrificed. So that's a case where it has kedushat damim, which means, what do you have to do in this case? You ask, what do you do in these cases? So in this case, what would you do? You'd sell the animal to someone, you'd take the money, and you'd use that to buy an animal. That animal has only kedushat damim to it. It's holy for its value, not for the animal itself, because the animal itself can't be sacrificed. So from here you learn also, yesh dichoy b'damim. There happen to be a bunch of different explanations what it means, yesh dichoy b'damim. I'm going to go with the one straightforward option. Amar Ula v'Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now we're going to have some other questions about dichoy or cases of dichoy. Achal chelev. Let's say you ate chelev. Okay, mistakenly. So what do? You bring a korban chatat, right, back to horayot. V'frish korban v'hemir dat. Okay, so you're mafresh a korban, and then you decide, I don't want to keep religion anymore. We saw this case, by the way. We saw something like this in horayot. V'chazar bo, and then he decides, oh, you know what? I do want to keep halacha. So now, what happens? Ho'il v'nidcha yidacheh. We saw this in Horayot, that if you're memir dat, you can't bring the korban, and therefore, right, korbanot are not accepted from someone who's memir dat. So therefore, since your korban was nidcha in the middle, if you decide now you want to bring a korban, you have to bring a whole new one. You can't use that one. Itmar nami, it's also been said, Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Achal chelev v'hifrish korban v'nishtateh. Okay, same type case. You eat chelev, you designate a korban, but then you become the imbecile, they say, or you know, you're not sane. V'chazar v'nishtafa, but then you become sane again. Ho'il v'nitcha yidache. Okay, again, while you were nishtateh, you're a shoteh. You can't bring a korban when you're a shoteh. You're not bar dat. So it was nitcha. Therefore, you have to bring a whole new korban. Utsrichi. Now, why do Rabbi Yochanan need to say both cases? If you only had the first case of the chelev, mishum dehu dache benafshe, he did it by intentionally, right? In other words, he decided to be memir dat, okay, the adayim, right? He did it himself. Aval hacha dimimele itche, but there when he became a shoteh, you might say ki ashen dami, it's like he was sleeping. Okay, if you're sleeping, right, your korban's not going to be nidcheh just because you went to sleep, right? So therefore, you might say, since it wasn't talui bo, it just happened, maybe you wouldn't view that as dichoy. V'iyash mu'inan hacha, and if you took the case of the shoteh, you might say, mishum de'em bi'ado lachzor, it's not in his power to come back. So therefore, maybe you'd say, that's real dichoy, because he has no control over what's going to happen in the future about coming back. Aval hacha, but in the memir dat, de'yesh bi'ado lachzor, emalo, you might say, since he can come back, maybe it's not really fully nidcheh. Because just because he leaves religion, since he has the potential to come back, maybe he knows that if he wants, he could have the potential to come back. So he wasn't really nidcheh, he docheh the korban 100%. And therefore, it's tzricha. That's why you need both cases, to show both these cases were considered nidcheh. By Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya asks the question, Achal chelev v'hifrish korban. He eats chelev, then he designates a korban. Okay, this is really a horayot case. V'horu beitin shechelev mutar. So he designates a korban to say, I'm going to bring a korban for the chelev I ate. Then the Beit Din said, oh, that type of chelev you ate, that type of chelev is mutar. Okay? But then, chazru bahem. But then they said, oh no, we made a mistake. Okay? Mahu. Mi havedichoy o lo havedichoy. Now, since he did it at the time, if he had done it, if he figured it out in the time when they said it was mutar, then it would have been the Beit Din's mistake. Right? But here, it's his mistake, because he originally ate the chelev knowing chelev was asur, right? In other words, he didn't know. He was mistaken about it. But at that point, the Beit Din also thought it was asur. Only later was they matir it, right? So now can he go back and bring his original korban? Because now he's chayav a korban. So Amar Le'ahu Saba, and he gets an interesting answer, ki patach Rabbi Yochanan b'dichuy meha patach. When Rabbi Yochanan started teaching the sugi of dichuy, that was the classic case he brought. In other words, of course that's dichuy. That's the classic case. Why is that the classic case? My time, huh? Hatam gavre itche. Korban lo itche. Hacha korban nami itche. In the cases of the shoten, the memir dat, what happened? It was the person who is nidcha from being able to bring the korban. But the animal, all along, nothing happened to the animal. In this case, since the Beit Din made a hora'ah that he's no longer chayav a korban, the korban was nidcha, not he himself. Okay? So therefore, The classic case of nidche, which is where we started today, was dichoy, where the korban was nidche, because it wasn't the right zman, or it wasn't, right? So that's a classic case, and of course that's dichoy. Okay, now we're going to go, okay, we're switching off this topic, we're now moving to the second part of the Mishnah, which goes back to this thing about the ola being disqualified, according to Shimon ben Azai. Amar Shimon ben Azai, mikublani mipi shivim ushnayim sakin. Lamali limit neshivim ushnayim sakin. Why did I have to tell you? He learned it from 72 skinny. And why does it say specifically zaken is really also the question. Dikulu b'chadashi tata havokayme. Okay, it was a rare instance where all 72 agreed unanimously about it.
And nonetheless, we
and
rejected
then, it. Right, which is crazy, right? And then the rabbis rejected this. V'lohodu lo chachamim. Okay, so remember, what did he say? Lo hosip ben azai ela ha'ola. According to him, what was this whole thing? Kol hazvachim shenishchatu shelo lishma, right? V'nizbachu shelo lishma. What he means was kol hazvachim ha'ne'echalim, that are eaten, but not the ola, which is meat. So the chatat and the Pesach are excluded from all the korbanot that are nechalim. They're unique, that they're disqualified, and all the others are kasher. But the ola is also obviously disqualified because that's, well, we'll see why, okay? My time at the Ben, Amar Rav Huna, my time at the Ben Azai. Why does he hold that ola is also disqualified? Olahu yisher reach nichoch la'ashem. What do you notice in the Pasuk? Olahi, hi lishma kshera, shelo lishma psula. Okay, again, we have this word, this classic word that keeps coming up when it says ola hi, or ola hu, or chatat hi, or chatat, right? Every time it says that, except for when it doesn't mean that, right? Like by the Asham, it says it doesn't mean it. Why by the Asham? Because remember, it was said by the Haftarati Muim and not in the main, right, in the main Avodot. Well, hold off on that because, okay, so by ola, it says, Yisherech nechoch la'ashem. Asham Nami k'tiv be hu. What do you mean? Or he. I don't remember which is which, but by Asham Nami it also says that word. So what do they say? Ah, hu la character adi muim hu dichtiv, right? That said it the letter. What do you mean? Hainami, by ola also la character adi muim hu dichtiv. It's also listed, the Yisherech Nichach, it's when they're talking about the character adi muim on the fire, that the fire will be a reach Nichach la Hashem. Dichtiv, so now they say, hu sorry, after any muimu, dichtiv, who dichtiv, period, sorry. Okay, so now they say, trehu k'tivi. It says it twice by ola. So now, twice by ola, it says it by haktarati muim in both cases. But what are we going to say? Remember the ime no inyan? If it's not there for that purpose, right, then it must be teaching you something else. In fact, it says it twice by the same in the same context. Again, it's two totally different psukim in different places, but the context is the same of haktarati muim. Therefore, one must be coming to tell you that the avodot, right, they have to be lishma. Kabe asham nami trehu k'tivi. What do you mean? By asham also it says it twice. Ela, so therefore you can't say it's from the word he. Okay, that's rejected. Ela ben azeh b'kavachomer ma'itela. Okay, he brings the kavachomer. This is going to sound very familiar. Uma chatat she'eno kalil shachata shalo lishma psula. Right, a chatat doesn't all go up to shamayim. And yet, if you're shochet shalo lishma, it's pasul. Ola shehi kalil lo kol shekem, right? No la, which is more holy, so to speak, because everything gets burned. Wouldn't you think it'd also be disqualified? So they say, no, we cannot get that kavachomer. Why? Malachatat shechem achaperet, right? There's no kapara provided by ola, even though there's pseudo kapara for mitzvot ase, but that's not the main point of the ola. But Pesach yochiach, what do you mean? The kapara can't be the main thing, because Pesach doesn't have kapara. Malach Pesach shekein zmano kavua. Right? And they say, wait, but Pesach has its own chumra, Shein Zmano Kavua. So they say, no, chata tochiach, bechazar adin, remember? Lo rizek rizeh, velo rizek rizeh. In other words, it can't be the kapara aspect, because that's not by Pesach, and it can't be the Zmano aspect, it has a unique time, because that's not true by chatad. So therefore, what's going to be the common denominator? Hatzana shaveshvem shein kodashim, they're kodshim, v'shachatan shalodashma pasul, afani ovi ola, shehi kodshim, v'shachatan shalodashma pasula. In other words, then we can say any kodshim. Obviously, the problem with this one is what, which is strange. Why they don't ask this? The first one asks this. Once you say that, you can say it applies to all the korbanot. Why only ola? But okay, one can make an argument. Ola is in a higher level. Malat tzad shavesha b'hem. But now they reject this and they say no. Malat tzad shavesha b'hem sheyesh b'hem tzad karet. What's unique about chatan and pesach? They both have an element of karet to them. Okay, let's just talk about what the karet is. If you don't bring the korban pesach, you get karet. And the chatan is mechaper and averot that are associated with karet. So they both have a tzad karet. So, Ben Azai, what are you going to say to that? How do you get ola into the picture? It doesn't have any karet element. Ben Azai Tzad Karet Lo Parach. He says, what are you talking about this Tzad Karet? You're comparing apples and oranges. The Karet by Pesach has nothing to do with the Karet by Chatat. The Karet by Pesach is, if you don't bring the sacrifice, you'll get Karet. By Chatat, we don't say, if you don't bring the Korban Chatat, you're going to get Karet. Okay? Right. And if you, and the chatat is just, if you did something where there's navirah associated with karet, then, and you did it b'shogeg, you bring them. Those are two totally different karets. They're not comparable at all, so you can't bring them here as an issue. So then they say, well, if that's the case, asham nami leite, why don't you also bring a korban asham? Okay, if that's the case, if you're learning it from this tzad shevesh behen, so it should include asham, right? That's why we said you could have included all sorts of others. For whatever reason, they're only saying the asham. Parech, mala tzad shevesh behen, shken yeshnam b'tzibor k'biyachid. The Ola, the Chatat, and the Pesach can be brought b'tzibur, okay? But the, and also b'yachid, although the Pesach is not really b'yachid, but the other ones can be brought either yachid or tzibur, and the Asham can only be brought b'yachid, it can't be brought b'tzibur, so therefore we're going to say maybe this only applies to tzibur korbanot. V'i b'ayit ema, tzad kari nami parich. You could actually say that maybe Ben Azai does think that this Tzad Karet is a good knocking out of the Kal v'chomer, as he would say they both have Tzad Karet, and that would exclude Ola. Uben Azai Gemara Gemirala. Okay, I want to finish to the Mishnah because it's really interesting and end of the line, which is good sikum for everything we've learned until now. Ben Azai, what do we say? He just had a masoret about it. Okay, in other words, it's not a limud, it's not a Kal v'chomer, it's not a this. So if he just had a limud, then why did he bring that Kal v'chomer? Okay, and then this is why I say it's a good sikkum, because we've had a lot of, I would say, confusing and, you know, mind-bending Kal v'chomers. Okay, and let's try this, and oh, you can flip it on its head, and you could do this, and you could do that. What's the point of all of it? Okay, so they're going to say, v'hadikama Rav Huna Kal v'chomer. Why did Rav Huna suggest that it was a Kal v'chomer when really it wasn't really a Kal v'chomer? Lo mara ela lechadei batalmidav. Okay, it was only said so that the children sharpen, this talmidim sharpen their brains. So if you were feeling that the whole beginning of Zvachim was difficult, just know that it was to sharpen your brains. Okay. Oh, I